And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Dennis 50, and Matt the Hitman Mizler. 734-908-1050. Phone lines are open. Question. How will you be spending the pause, as I call it, with Michigan Athletics on pause? What do you think? What team are you going to cheer for? Hopefully it's just 7 days, as our guest on the last segment said, John Borton. It may be shorter than 14 days, and that was music to my ears. But 734-908-1050. Let's go to Gary in Ann Arbor. What up, Gary?
Hey guys, good afternoon.
Hey Gary.
Well, you know me. I'll tell you what I'll be doing. I'll be watching the weather. Is it when's the next snowstorm coming? And will it be a dud like this one was?
This one was a dud, Gary. I was expecting at least 6+. Come on, Gary.
No, on Sunday I was looking at 2 inches. With the information I had, if I'd have been on the air on TV, I would have said 2 inches, maybe 3 in some spots.
This one was too easy. The back doesn't hurt. I feel pretty good, Gary. I even took out the snowblower. I was done in 15 minutes. Usually take me a half hour if it's a snowstorm.
Yeah, those are the kind of snow events you really like. So we don't need to be buried. Well, you know, I like to answer your question right off the bat. I would just wait and hold my breath, kind of, you know, rhetorically speaking. I'd be curious to watch some of the other Big Ten teams in action, maybe catch some of the games because there'll be other Big Ten teams playing basketball. The other sports, too, I would just wait it out. That's not much as a fan. I'll tell you what I would do if I was running on the track team, and maybe you guys might not like to hear this, or some future callers might not like it, but I would just go outside and run. I wouldn't wear my school colors. I'd leave the cell phone at home, so I wouldn't carry it with me. I'd vary my workouts. I'd run solo. I would not meet up with any teammates. By varying workouts, I could do a distance run for an hour, maybe throw some speed work in, run up some hills if I lived in a hilly neighborhood, stay off the main street. So I'd be pretty incognito. But basketball, swimming, volleyball, hockey, you don't have that option. So if I was on the basketball team, I don't know what I'd do. Like you said, drive to Southfield and meet for a pickup game somewhere.
LA Fitness over on Jackson.
Yeah, so, I mean, like as a runner, I'd be outside. And I wouldn't tell the coach, and, you know, I wouldn't be the other teammates, they can do what they want. If I was a sprinter, you could still run outside and do some wind sprints and – what Matt Leach said is what he was told, do push-ups. That's a great way to stay in shape. If you do sets of 20, 30, or 50, take a minute or two in between sets. You could do 10 sets of 50. You elevate your heart rate. You work on several muscle groups. So that would be good for all the other sports. Well, it's upper body. Hockey, you need to work on lower body. But, again, if you're a hockey player, go outside and run. Run in the snow, you know, go up and run up the Arb Hill.
Yeah, but there's no replacement of actually getting out on the ice and getting some work in there. And I think basketball, there's no replacement of getting shots up. I mean, like you can sit around working out all you want. There's basketball shape. There's running shape. Then there's basketball shape. Like, that's the thing. Like, they got to be out on the court. They got to be able to get some shots up and go through that. I don't know. Like I don't know what Juwan's got planned. You know.
Maybe Juwan's at. He's in his office. The door gets unlocked.
Can't be in the office.
I'm just saying he stops in to get his mail. I mean, come on, he stops in. He gets all of his mail, and he's got to look through it. He's not taking it home. Not all of it. So I mean, he's there for maybe 2-3 hours, and you know, the players just walk by because they're used to walking by. They pull on the door, it's open. You go in and get some shots up. I get it. Maybe.
Well, I'll tell you this, guys. These athletes, basketball, hockey, swimming, volleyball, they are highly tuned thoroughbreds, and you do have attrition and weakening of your skills, your motor skills, and everything else. So it is imperative that you work on your shooting technique or hockey skating. You use different core muscles skating than you do running. So right. I get that, and I understand that's very important. And I really feel for these student athletes, guys.
No doubt. Like
Gary, my second question, I didn't get a chance to get my second question. What do you think about the new coaching staff for the Michigan football?
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, I call about Mike Hart. I'll just say amen to Ron Bellamy. I like the enthusiasm all the newcomers, whether they're Michigan alums or not, bring to the table. Their coaching prowess, which even our own Sam Webb has said a lot of positive things about. It gives me new hope. That's all it is hope. You know, I'm not projecting any one-loss records now until we get, if we get a spring game in and we get some practice, we can cross that bridge when we come to it. But that's a good question, Jamie. As a fan, I'm hopeful, and at least at face value, I'm expecting a better outcome than what we had this past season. So there's only one way to go from here, guys, and that's up concerning Michigan football.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. Look, he's right. He's right. I mean, these guys got to go out there, and I'm talking about he's right about getting out on the road, putting some road work in, getting shot ups. I mean, he's right. They need to take it upon themselves. And look, as we said, these guys are testing each and every day. That being said, it doesn't. I know that you don't want to encourage them being together, but I mean, Dennis, if they're testing negative, I mean, you might as well let's go run. Let's go do some running around Ann Arbor. Let's go do some things and not try to be out there so everybody can see you, but do it in the morning time or do it late in the evening whenever you can get it up. Not now because it's too damn cold, but you get out during the day and get as much road work as you can. And like you said, get shots up. You got to go somewhere to get shots up.
Well, that's it. And you're not being a jerk or going against like, oh, you're telling these guys not to be safe. You know, it's a pandemic. And, you know, there's one side. Yeah. You know, you want to compete safely. You know, we understand that part. We also understand it's a health crisis. It's a pandemic. If I'm Isaiah Livers, though, and the team, you haven't had any positive tests, you're testing every day, I'm throwing four or five guys in my car and finding a gym. You know, is that, as they say, you got to quarantine, is that crossing the line? I mean, it sounds like it's crossing the line. Man, you're a bad dude, you're a bad guy. If you're taking your team up, you guys are, getting some shots up at a gym that you find out. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know what Juwan Howard would think. I don't know what everybody else out there is thinking. You know, like the.
You still need that camaraderie. You can't. I get the quarantine thing and everything like this. If they're testing negative, you still need that team camaraderie. You still need that togetherness because it's all about the team. I get it. If you're a single athlete, if you're a tennis player or a track runner or anything, you can do this on your own.
But okay, these guys, not only the men's team, but the women's team and the hockey team, none of those teams have had a positive test going all the way back to the summer. Like, so they are following the rules. Right? These guys are on the P's and Q's. They've got it going. So going against the recommendation, okay, so they can't practice what says they can't use any of the facilities on campus. So. No, arranging something off campus if there's a house or another high school or even a junior high, is that something that's even in the cards at all? That's something Juwan Howard's not going to talk anything about, but is definitely doing behind the scenes. I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think you call Jay Wright. If Jay Wright, saying, yeah, we found a way. We went down the road. We were shooting. Well, maybe you do look at that. Like, is it safe if everybody's if the gym you're going to is clean and you're testing negative, the entire team, you're doing that every day. So that seems to me like, going out there when they say you're quarantining, like, they can walk outside their house, right? Like they can walk outside their apartment. They're not saying that they have to stay. Like if you test positive, I can see they're saying, do not step out of your house. You have to stay in your apartment. If they're leaving to go get the test.
Right. They do have to leave the they do leave their apartment. They have to go. They're going to Chrysler Center anyway. 734-988-1050. Let's go to Philly E. What up, Philly E?
Gents, how we doing today? You know, I like the staff. I already told you I had reservations about losing Warner yesterday, so I wasn't real happy about that. But overall, I love the youth, and I said I think that that's going to pay dividends come recruiting. I got some questions, though. I mean, it's going to be a wait and see. I want to see how the staff does. Are the kids going to look prepared? What do I mean by that? Now that Mr. Moore is running the offensive line, are we picking up those double A gap blitzes? Okay, are our running backs? Are they? Are, you know, the fullbacks? Are they blocking back? Can they pick up someone coming off the edge? Those are things I'm going to be looking for. Play calling. Okay, I do not want to see shotgun formation on, you know, first and goal from the one. That's nonsense. Say what you want to say about my man Lane Insane down in Ole Miss. He's not. He probably doesn't run the greatest organization, but I'll tell you what, the dude's a hell of a play caller. And I'm looking for, you know, calling a play that kind of fits the situation, you know, as opposed to what we were doing last year. Jamie, you played on teams that made outstanding halftime adjustments. Are we going to be able to adjust when things aren't going great and we're facing adversity, we're getting punched in the mouth? Can we make those X and O adjustments at halftime? So I'm going to be looking for that as well. The other thing, again, I mean, I'll say it. I mentioned it yesterday, but, boy, I would just love some Ohio representation because I just think having kids from that state is going to – it's really important, not just for the rivalry, but just for Michigan because it just seems like the kids from Ohio, you know, let's face it, they're a big part of Michigan football, and I would love to get kids back out of that state. I got a quick – well, I'll probably go into that later. But I did have a quick story about – I want to shout out a guy by the name of Tripp Wellborn that I met back in 1995, and he is one of my all-time favorite players. And I happened to be working in an internship down in North Carolina in Greensboro. And I had run into I went to go spot his friend. I was working at Ric Flair's Gold's Gym. And next thing I said, oh, you go to Paige. I said, Rick, Tripp Wellborn went there. And he says, oh, he's in the locker room. I said, get out of here. He says, no, he's lifting with me. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is one. You talk about a Michigan man and a class act. I cannot say enough about Tripp Wellborn. What a class act he was. Me and him shot the bull about Michigan football. We were high-fiving, we were laughing, we were reminiscing for a good half hour. So, I mean, if he listens to this show, I just want to shout him out. I hope he's doing great because that is one class individual. And there's a guy that's – and talk about, you know, you don't know much about a Michigan team until 20 years later. We've heard that quote. Well, there's a guy that, you know, blew out one knee, rehabbed, tried to have a pro career, blew out another one, and still went on. And I'm sure he's making something of himself. I'm not sure what he does these days, but – I guarantee you he's doing something successful. So just want to shout him out. And by the way, I'm disappointed in any Lion fan that heard that call yesterday about that 1981 upset over the Cowboys. It was probably the most exciting, hectic inning I've ever seen in a football game. And not one person remembered that game when Eddie Murray hit that, when they ran on the field. And
did they have 12 men on the field, Philly?
They had 12 men on the field because every Cowboy – I'm going to tell you right now, I may live in Philly – but every Cowboy fan for the next 5 years bitched and complained about that game. So I'll double down on that. I think that was the most exciting, memorable win that the Lions probably had going all the way back to when they destroyed the Packers on Thanksgiving Day in 1962. But I'm sure JJ will fill you in on that. But I can't believe JJ didn't remember that game.
Well, he was checking you some way. But you know what? You just jogged my memory. Like I was sitting there. I was a Lions fan. I grew up in Detroit, you know, and so of course I'm a Lions fan. But the Lions never were going to the playoffs in the. I know they went in the early 70s and lost to the Cowboys 5-0. But when I was growing up, like we were Lion fans, but they were never going to the postseason. So everybody, on my block, either like the Steelers or the Cowboys. So around 77, I was a Cowboys fan and a Lions fan. And as a young kid, I always remember like what would happen when these two teams would play, you know, who am I going to root for? And then when they did play, it was that game. And I felt bad for the Cowboys because they lost. And I can remember the next day on the paper, they had the overhead shot of the game winning field goal. And they had the, like they do sometimes on the telestrator, you know, they counted all the players out. And that was the picture of the newspaper above the fold there of the 12 players that they had on the field. And I'm like, wow, the Lions cheated to beat them. So.
Yeah. And you know what? That was the first year I think they put Madden and Summer all together. And of course, later on that year, you saw the Super Bowl. So. Yeah, it's just a lot of little oddities to that, but I don't know why JJ was talking about 80, but 80, that was another one bites the dust to another one kicks our butts when they were 4-0 and Billy Sims was looking like the rookie of the year, and then, you know, they were spitting nuts and bolts at the end and the Vikings ended up stealing the division. But anyway, just shout out to Tripp Welburn. What a class act. True Michigan man.
Yeah, he was an excellent player.
He lives in North Carolina currently. He used to live in Minneapolis, St. Paul. He was in charge of security in the Target company for Target, as we call it. So he moved on, but I know you know what? We're gonna kick you a favor. You just jogged my memory. I'm gonna give Tripp a call. We're gonna get Tripp on. We're gonna find out what Tripp is doing right now. He just got inducted into the Ring of Honor a couple years ago, Philly. So I mean, that would be a great interview for Dennis and I.
That would be tremendous. That would be tremendous. I wonder if he would remember that, but who knows?
We'll ask him.
But yeah, what a hell of a football player. People forget, too, he came in as a wide receiver, I think, with Chris Callaway, and they threw him to the other side of the ball. So, boy, that worked out great because he might be, you know, when I think of great safeties, I think of him, I think of Keith Bostic, but I think of him first because that kid was returning punts, too. What a great dude. Hey, go Blue. You guys have a nice day.
Good job, Philly. Yeah, people that are out there, if you didn't weigh in on the coaching staff and how you feel about it, good time to get in right now and talk about the pause and what you're doing. You know, the thing with me is that these new coaches, like I said yesterday, I'm excited and worried at the same time. Like, so, yeah, it's nice bringing in guys if they're ready, if this is their shot and, you know, they can coach. We're going to find out. And, you know, finding somebody when they're young, I mean, that's worth its weight in gold if you're able to do that. Being able to get out there on the recruiting trail, we'll see, you know, how they're able to execute that. To me, it's coming back to the top here. And the questions and, you know, we could sit around and we can debate it all winter and spring. You know, where were these nonsensical play calls and nonsensical ideas coming from the staff last year? Is that why these guys are out? And is that why Jim, you know, has refreshed this thing? Like he just turned it over to his assistants and he said, look, I'm not going to interfere. And now he's like, now I got to interfere or I'm going to be out. That's what you, I guess, hope, you know, you hope that Jim wasn't sitting there and those were his ideas. And then he's sitting back, you know, there were some bad signs about him, you know, losing a little bit of his enthusiasm for our coaching. It doesn't seem like he's the same guy and attacking each day like he was when he came in. So we'll see what kind of enthusiasm he actually has about that. You know, Gary mentioned, you know, they only have, and he's right, you know, they only have one way to go. It's like, are they only going to win one game next year? Yeah, like they only won two games this year. This year was really a disaster, you know, after the Minnesota game for a lot of reasons, not, you know, for the play, the pride, all kinds of things that they have to clean up. So, yeah, be excited. I'm worried at the same time. I'm not, like, running out there with, you know, carrying some flag, talking about how great, you know, this is going to be, youthful experience. They're going to recruit their tails off. Yeah, and, you know, maybe they will recruit their tails off. Again, if it doesn't produce out of the field, everybody's going to be gone. So, or they should.
You're right. You're right. But, look, here's the thing. You got to get hungry guys that are ready to bite off, take a bite out of this. And you got some guys that maybe this Mike, maybe Mike McDonald, he wants to prove that he can coach in college football. College football is where it's at for him because he loved it at Georgia. He left it, went to the pros, coached in the pros, and now he wants to come back. Maybe he's hungry for that. I mean, it could be Legist. Maurice Legist, he could be, look, I just left the pros. I've been coaching in the college football. I know this. I know I can do this. He's hungry. You got guys, look, they can, you come to Michigan, I like it and love it. It's an old blue blood program. It's waiting to erupt. The grounds are swelling up. Fans are waiting for that thing. They're waiting for something to happen. If this is the coaching staff, and look, mind you, you can't have revolving doors either. Look, this is it. Brian Kelly did it, and I'm sorry, I'm going to bring it up. Brian Kelly got rid of his offense and defensive coordinators and did everything and revamped the whole Irish program. It worked for him. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm not saying this is what Jim Harbaugh is going to do. I'm saying, look, it's a reprieve for Jim Harbaugh, and he gets another chance to come in here. It's not refreshed because everybody remembers 6 years ago what you've done these past 6 years. So now you've got to improve, but you brought a new coaching staff in. You brought some familiar faces that everybody likes. I mean, Mike Hart, they love Mike Hart, the little running back that did all the all-time leading rusher, everything like that, who's got street cred. He's been out there. He's done it. He's had 1,000-yard rushers. He's recruited. He went to Indiana. He was Indiana's. He was on the road to being Indiana's next head coach following Tom Allen. So that being said, he's done some things that I'm excited. I'm apprehensive. I'm nervous. I want them to succeed because it would be good for these former players, including Harbaugh, and these new coaches to do something. I'm not saying they're going to go out there and win a Big Ten championship right away in the first year and everything like that. But this is a start for some of these players too.
Well, I want them to succeed as well. And if you're listening right now, you're probably a big Michigan fan. And big Michigan fans, and you know what you're always hoping for is the best result. So you look at it, okay, we're getting fresh new faces in here. Wow, they're young, they're hungry, they can recruit. Who knows what they're going to be able to do? Maybe Jim's going to be able to get the fire back. You mentioned what Kelly was able to do at Notre Dame. Mark D'Antonio had a bounce back when he only had 3 wins the one season. So that's 2 of Michigan's 3 biggest rivals. Their coaches just recently had real down years, and they were able to bounce back. So it's a possibility. Now, there is the other side, and this is where the entire rest of the country is looking at Michigan, and probably half of their fan base is looking at it and saying, yeah, that's one side. But the other side here is that Jim Harbaugh is on a total hot seat. He's bringing in guys that probably were a little lighter in the resume because he couldn't go out there, because what coordinators are going to be like, yeah, I'm signing up for this 1 year shot with Jim Harbaugh. So there's that part about it. And then how did all of these things happen that transpired out on the field last year? Was this Jim just sitting back, letting everybody just go ahead and make their imprint, and now he's jumping in with hands on? So there's a lot of questions to be answered here. Sure, you're going to look as the glass half full if you're a big-time Michigan fan. That's what fans do. But there's a lot of other people who just know this. The other side is that Jim Harbaugh's on the hot seat, and people are just waiting for that first loss and looking at this thing like, yeah, this is more than likely not going to work.
Yeah. 734-998-1050. Let's go to Terry. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good to talk to you guys again. Hey, I know I was short yesterday. But one of the things that I wanted to kind of follow up with the call yesterday, and I said it last week, you know, it's great that, you know, he's getting guys that who can recruit. I think Eric hit on it from South Carolina. I don't think the problem has really been at Michigan of getting talent. You know, they've gotten talent. It's what they've done with that talent. So, you know, kind of the way that it's being kind of portrayed to the fans a little bit, and how I'm taking this is, Jim is kind of setting this thing up for like a 2 or 3 year build, because recruiting doesn't happen overnight. You know, and some of these guys coming in, okay, maybe you get some guys in next year, but these guys aren't going to be really ready. So, you know, we're 2 years, maybe 3 years. So, like Dennis just said, I think this is a kind of a – he has to win now. And to me, that's a little bit perplexing of, you know, why this whole recruiting thing is being built up so much, because they've gotten talent, you know. And you can see that, you know, they put plenty of guys into the league, and guys have gone on and had pretty decent careers. So I don't really think the talent issue is, you know, can they get higher talent? Of course, but they need higher coaching first and foremost. That's exactly what they need. So to me, you know, bringing in all these super recruiters and these guys who are supposed to be so sweet about making connections, it has to happen within Schembechler, you know, and then take it up to, you know, Main Street. So I don't know. I mean, do you guys get that feeling that Jim's
– Well, I would just go – yeah, like Terry, I'm with you on that. Let's just look at the quarterback position. Like, you know, they're sitting out there last year with a guy that can throw the ball the length of the field and, you know, Cade McNamara. And you know what? McCaffrey was pretty well thought of there. It was chock full of – you know, there's not many quarterback rooms across the country that had more talent. And it was a flop last year. And then the two previous years of that, you know, Shea Patterson was a five-star recruit. Like, you know, Fields was a five-star, and he transferred. Patterson was a five-star, and he transferred. Michigan fans thought that they were getting the cream of the crop, you know, for 2 years. And Patterson, you know, you can say whatever you want, whether he got hurt, and, you know, new system and all these different things. Guy couldn't throw the football down the field. You know, he really struggled with that. Why Michigan couldn't see that, why they couldn't put him in position, whatever else, for 2 years, and when they had guys behind him knocking on the door, we don't have to go very far to just look at a coach. This is supposed to be his baby. This is his position. Now he's jumping in, and he's going to be the quarterback coach. They've got the most important position that they have missed the mark on here almost the whole time that he's been here.
And that's 100%. And I hear people get excited because Jim's going to be in the quarterback room. But where has Jim been the last 6 years? Where has he been?
That's a great question. He's standing right next to those quarterbacks.
But, you know, come on, man. You know what I mean? Just, yeah, you know what? It's the whole offseason, hype that I think it really has to be tempered. It really, really has to be tempered. And I know some fans are going to buy into it, and some media are going to buy into it, and, you know, these are the best hires or whatever, and we've got a bunch of go-getters.
No, I don't think anybody's saying that, Terry. I don't think anybody's saying that. Look, from your point, you know what? You got to go – I'm going to say this again, and you got to try to understand. Let it sink in. Recruiting is the heart and soul of your team. It's what's going to revive you. Yes, I agree. They got to coach up the team, the players that they have, and do not – you're believing the myth. They bring in great talent all the time. No, they do not. Obviously, they don't bring in great talent all the time because we were short on talent last year and the year before. So with that being said, no, I don't believe that.
I also think they were short on coaching as well, J-Mo. You know what I mean? So,
I'll agree with that.
What's that? I mean, it's a little. I'm not saying they go out and have the best classes. I'm not going out saying they should be up there with Alabama. But what I am saying is they bring in talent. You know what I mean? And much like what Dan Antonio did up at Michigan State, you know, of bringing in lesser than guys and developing. That's one of the critical things that hasn't happened under Harbaugh is really developing the talent. You know, and some of the better things that they have, guys they have developed, have been lesser, you know, known recruits, but that consistently they have not, you know, risen up to get this team at the optimum and getting the most out of their players. So, well, you know, I'll go back and say it, you know, the recruiting is great, but we're a couple years out from that really hitting, and I don't think Jim has a couple years to kind of sit there and, you know, kind of, you know, be a meddling team and, you know, go 8-4, 7-5 and say, oh, shucks, you know, we got ran out of the gym by OSU again, you know what I mean? But just think about all these, you know, recruits we have. I think that time is up, and it really has to happen within Schembechler and take it on the Main Street. So
totally agree with that. Totally agree. Terry, thanks for the phone call. We got to go to a break. JJ, hold on. You'll be the first on the break when we come back. You're listening to the M Zone.